if you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time.
Good morning and welcome to the March the 19th edition of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and we are absolutely delighted that you have elected to join the program today. We would like for you to get in contact with the show, and I will provide you with the numbers that you can do that with. 516-453-9921 is the number. And when the call screener does come on, give the call screener your name, and you wait until you are queued in. If you happen to be a first-time caller, you do the exact same thing. However, when the call screener asks you your name, make sure that you give them your name and tell them that you are a first-time caller, and we have something special set up just for you so that you can be heard. Okay, secondly, if you do not want to use that, you can also Gmail me at this address, the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, MRBOBBY, at gmail.com. I will read it when the time is appropriate, and I will let you know, and you can hear yourself or your comment on the radio at a certain time. I don't know the date that would happen, but it will happen. All right. Now, please do not write me a long one. I cannot. We don't have time in this two-hour window that we have been granted. And lastly, you join the chat room, and all you have to do to join the chat room is go to blogtalkradio.com. Then you want to click on where it says the program menu. You click on that, and then you want to look for shows. The shows that come up and the show that you want to come up is the Produce Justice Show. You click on that one, and the chat room square or window becomes available for you, and you can get in that and go from there. Those are the ways to do that. Let's see here. Since you're online, most of you, or listening, you can do this. Mr. Fuller was on the Carl Nelson Show last week, and if you did not get a chance to hear it, it is on our website at producejustice.com. And speaking about producejustice.com, the books that Mr. Fuller, or book that he will be speaking about today, will be from that, and you can go to the website and get that book at producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com. Okay, I think that is it. Yes, okay, that's it. Okay, let's proceed with the show. Let me say, first of all, good morning, Mr. Fuller, and how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Okay. Well, let me present to others, to some, and introduce Mr. Fuller to those who are newly listening to the program. Now, remember, well, keep this in mind that when Mr. Fuller is speaking about something, he gives a lot of examples, and most of the time you're probably not going to get it, so you have to give it time, because he does use logic and he uses a lot of examples to illustrate his point, because we do not want confusion to be a part of the program. We do not want that. So make sure that you keenly listen to the program, listen to what he is saying, and then we can go from there. Okay, we have a segment that we have that we do just about every show, and it's called The Thoughts and Expressions on the Mind of Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Mr. Fuller, today being the 19th of March, 2024, what is on your mind this morning?
The same thing last week. I'm going to keep underlining that at least for this month, because I'm talking about the Women's Month. And for black women in particular throughout the entire world, wherever they are, lots of things are being said that need to be said. And so I guess I'll just join that group, because for one thing I keep hearing repeatedly is that black females all over the world are the most abused people on the planet. And that's either true or false, but I say I have reason to believe that it's true when I stop to think about it so far. You know, it's saying black females are the most abused of all people on the planet. That's a flat statement. So the code, which is what I talk about, requires me to always go with the truth. So the question would be, is that true? And if it is true, and I have no reason to believe it's not true until somebody shows me, I'll say, well, that means that somebody should react to that, if that statement is true, in the most constructive manner. Because what everybody on the planet should be doing every minute of every day is doing only that which is most constructive. So therefore, what do you do about that? If black females are the most abused people on the planet, you stop doing it, logically speaking, because no one is supposed to be abusive, just another word for mistreatment. No one, ever, under any circumstance, is supposed to be mistreated for any reason. And so if that's true, you look and see if it's true first. And if that is true, and I have no reason to believe that it's not true, it means, okay, abuse, mistreatment, how? By, if you're going to stop it? Well, for one thing, you can start by, in a codified manner, because once something comes to your attention, it should be codified, meaning you find out what's the best thing to do. That's what codification means. And stick with it till you find something better. And the best thing is not to do. So I came to the conclusion immediately, if that's true, then don't do anything or say anything that constitutes abuse or mistreatment of any kind against black females. The most mistreated people on the planet is a black female. Then don't do anything and don't say anything at any time against black females. And I ask myself, well, what if they're doing things that shouldn't be done? You point out that it shouldn't be done, the act shouldn't be done, but then you shouldn't speak against the person who is that way, because the person is being abused. You can expect the most abused people on the planet to do things that most people wouldn't approve of. That's logical. But you also give the reasons. Say, yes, black females do this or do that or say this or say that, or I know of one who did this and did that. Oh, I know of a lot of them who have done this or said that. But why? See, that's one of the questions that should always be asked under any circumstance involving anything or anybody. Why are they doing it? How did they get to the place of state of mind where they are doing it? And things that you may not approve of. You can say you don't approve of the things that are done, but you give, well, who did it? You say it's a black female. Say, well, you can expect that type of behavior from a person who is being constantly abused or has been so severely abused, logically speaking, that you can expect that type of behavior. So, I just want to reiterate what I said about it before.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really is important.
Okay.
Black females, since this is last month was Black History Month, she's a part of that. This month, they'll say you have for example, a black legislator. And they'll say, that woman is just as silly as she can be. I don't, you know, blah, 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 blah. Stop doing that. Just agree or disagree with some things being done, but don't give verbal abuse to the woman by doing any name calling of any kind. Don't say she's silly. Point out the thing that's being done and say you don't agree with it. And then when you don't agree with somebody doing something, then that means you got a better suggestion. So the thing to do is to concentrate not so much on the person who did or said something, but on whether or not what was being done or said can be replaced with something better.
Mm-hmm.
And so you make a suggestion about what you think would be better and say why. And that way you have what you call going in the direction of a civilized discussion rather than arguments and name-calling. That's all I have to say about that right now.
Okay, right now. Okay.
Anybody who disagrees can say so and say why.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Okay. 516-453-9921 is the contact number to today's programming. We didn't do this last week, and hopefully we will get a chance to make mention of it and get your observations, Mr. Fuller, and also from the people who are listening, that is from the Shawshank Redemption, some points that I want to bring out, and let's see what's happening there. Now, before we go into the regular programming for today, Mr. Fuller, if I may, I'd like to say this. And this is particularly to the men or brothers that are listening to the program. And this is very, very important. It's in the area of health. I had a prostate screening yesterday. And, of course, I went a week before and got the blood test and all that kind of stuff. And all the results, you know, were fine. And the doctor, checked me in that area. You know, it's good. I bring that out because, brothers, and I don't know if you've observed this, Mr. Fuller or others, but we don't talk. We don't talk about that. We'll talk about the game or some gal or something like that, but we don't talk about our health issues. And it's a real simple procedure that is done. Is it invasive? Yes, it is invasive, but it's necessary. It's necessary to go and get that done. Please, brothers, you need to do that so that you can have a reasonable portion of health. A reasonable portion of health. I was thinking about that because, as Mr. Fuller said many times, that the answer to any problems is to ask questions. But we don't talk about that, and that really disturbs me. Now, I don't know how you feel about that. If you're over 45 or whatever, go and get it done. Schedule it and get it done and have the doctors, you know, do that so that you can be checked out okay so you can still do what we have to do in this struggle against racism, white supremacy. Mr. Fuller, you have a thought on that before we take any questions?
Health is number one. Health is number one. I put it under economics. But and a lot of it comes from not eating correctly. All right? And anything that they call have regular checkups about, and you should find out what they are. It's a list of them, really, that comes out every so often. What I do, I contact my primary care a doctor and say, I want to take every test that you got that they say it's important to have. And so the doctor does just that. Some of it I don't even understand or I just heard about, but if it's on that list, particularly every now and then, in fact, quite frequently, they give most of the things. The medical profession puts out lists of things and also the statistics that's killing black people. So I just say, what's on the list? That's my position.
Yes, sir.
Colon cancer or whatever it is.
Yes, sir.
I want to be tested.
Yes, sir.
I want to be tested for whatever it is that's doing this damage. They say this is a high rate of this and what is most likely to cause a stroke or a heart attack, whatnot, and how you can take a test to head it off, whatnot, put me on the list.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Yeah, well, you don't even know what it is when I put it on the list. I'll figure out what it is later on. But if it's supposed to help me health-wise, I want to take it.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Every
okay.
type of test.
Okay. Well, I just
got about 15 or 20 things on here. Well, schedule me for all of them.
Exactly. Exactly. Particularly though that we get. I just thought I would throw that out there because I'm very concerned, particularly because we don't talk. We talk
mm-hmm.
about everything else, but we do not talk. We do not ask questions. And that really disturbs me, particularly when it comes to health, when things can be done about it. Okay, enough of that. Let's go to the phone line. Just thought I would throw that out there. Corey, get ready. We're coming to Milwaukee here. And let's see here, get this thing rolling. Okay, Corey, you're on, Mr. Fuller. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, I wanted to continue with what you were speaking about in terms of black females and this being Women's History Month. I was reading in the Code Book, the 2016 edition, on page 33 at the bottom, and it's speaking about racial sexual confusion. Mr. Fuller, can you express how, for maybe new listeners and people who aren't familiar with the Code Book, and myself as well, to get more clarification, Mr. Fuller, can you please express how sexual confusion among non-white people is one of the major ways that the white supremacists maintain, expand, and or refine the practice of white supremacy? Can you explain how the problems that we have, the sexual confusion that we have as black people, instead of blaming the black female, how we need to blame the system of racism, white supremacy for the sexual confusion.
Okay, Corey. Thank you. Mr. Fuller?
Any kind of confusion among black people under the system of white supremacy is the fault. If you're going to place blame, it is square on the shoulders of racist man and racist woman, the white supremacists of this entire planet. They're the most powerful people. They put things on people's minds more than anybody. They're the greatest information, sources of information, both constructive and non-constructive. And so they make sure that whatever non-white people are doing, that's the white supremacists, the racist man and racist woman, is going to be non-constructive for non-white people. That's why you have white supremacy. That's what they do. Any contacts that they make, regardless of how it looks on the surface, the white supremacists have one thing in mind: keeping the system of white supremacy going. It's the most powerful, the most comfortable system for white people that has ever been thought up for people who are classified as white. It has defects and whatnot, like all systems do, that are not perfect and whatnot. And since the system of white supremacy itself is set up to damage people by the millions, they have to cover everything that people are involved in. And that's everything in all areas of activity. You can't nothing let anything slip by. And that includes sex. You got 9 areas of activity: economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Now, the white supremacists make sure that they are dominant over non-white people in all of these areas of activity, 24 hours a day of every day. And every move that a non-white person makes, and particularly this applies to sex. Sex is a very strong emotion, sexual emotions, extremely strong. I mean, Bob Hope, I'll just give as an example, World War II. He comes out on the stage. He was a comedian. And he had what then was considered half naked. And that's a female, white female, in a swimsuit. And he said, in case you guys, you know, people ask you a whole bunch of questions about what World War II is really all about, that this is what everybody understands it's really all about. And he'd bring out somebody like Betty Grable, who was a top movie star at that time, in her swimsuit. Her pictures was hanging up somewhere all over the world. I mean, a picture of Betty Grable, I mean, was looking over her shoulder while she's wearing a swimsuit, showing you her figure. And it's a famous photograph. And you find it overseas in barracks and tents and dugouts and foxholes and whatever. Among all the white soldiers and sometimes the black ones, all right? This is what you're fighting for. So I'm just giving an illustration. They say, hey, this is, you mean all this killing and whatnot? Yeah, All of it. That's what, when you boil it right down at the end of the day, it's all about sex. It's all about, you know, when you hear about a soldier going over the hill, meaning deserting his unit, where will you find him when you send the military police to get him? In his girlfriend's house, all right? Or somewhere in the neighborhood where she is, or his wife. He's getting Dear John letters. I found somebody else. I mean, so I'm forgetting about you. And he's on the battlefront, so he's missing now. So you say he ain't missing in combat. He's going to try to find that girlfriend or his wife who ran away with somebody else. I heard a thousand of those stories even when I was in the military. You know, when they said somebody's on AWOL. That's what it was about. So what's the point that I'm making? Sex is very strong. It can get you in real trouble real fast. The white supremacist said, you know what? We don't have to worry about black people in no other area of activity if what we do is mess up their minds when it comes to sex. Now, somewhere along the way, they came to that conclusion, and they ran some experiments. And evidently, a few tests said, yeah, if you can confuse black people sexually, you can confuse them about everything. And so they, like the white supremacists, are very scientific. So they said, you know, what you people are doing, you center too much on this male-female thing. You think that a male has to be this paired off with a female. That ain't necessarily so. And then they demonstrate, see, because anything that you're trying to trick people into, you first got to do some of it yourself. Otherwise, you won't have any credibility. Black people are not that stupid. So they say, well, white folks are doing it. So it must be great. Well, they wouldn't be doing it. But see, they are doing it and they're winking their eyes. They say, well, we're going to make plenty of examples of how successful this is. And then they say, well, one example is pretty good. Let's give two or three. And, you know, finally they say, well, if two or three is going over pretty well, because black people always pick up anything they think is new. Don't make no difference what it's about. If it looks like it's new, because they're always looking for something different. They're tired of being in the situation they're in. So they say, then they start coming up with, well, let's just have a different type of sexual activity for every alphabet. How many alphabets we got? I'm just saying, this looks like where they're going, because they keep adding alphabets. The latest one I've heard about is something called AI, artificial intelligence, where they say we want a lot of artificial sex. So let's get black people to center on that. Anytime they start talking about anything, housing or reparations and whatnot, say, no. That's not a priority. What you need to do, you people need to do with your dumb selves, is try out a new form of sex. And I got truckloads of forms for you to fill out. And black people, they ran a few tests. We're falling for it. I mean, we're walking right into that trap. Faster than we've fallen for anything. Yeah, that's what, yeah, look at that, yeah. Do some more of that. Get me involved in it. And that's, it's real simple. For the last 50 years, it's working. It's working like a charm. And they say, well, what's wrong with it? But that's the way we are about anything. The white supremacists say, hey, these people are so stupid you can lead them by the nose at anything. So we will make, since sex is so strong, the sexual urge, we are going to lead them by the nose into every kind of nonsense that you can possibly think of. And that's where we are. They say, they are putting such a priority on that, we don't need to even try to fool them about nothing else. Because nothing else matters to them.
Okay.
Now, we are either that way or we are not. Now, let everybody say men or everybody say no, fool, you got this one wrong. We ain't that stupid. Well, it's either true or false.
Okay.
And
wow.
Is it constructive? See, the code always looks for that. Is this a constructive activity? And if so, what's constructive about it? I used to have a girlfriend. Now I got a girlfriend. I got a boyfriend. I got a juvenile boyfriend. I got a, might as well throw in the white woman on that, or imitation white woman. One of the biggest events I want to take part in is spike shoes, high heel day for every black male. And and all these alpha black males, whatever you want to call them, who just restricting themselves to females, they're a bunch of fools. If that's what they're doing. Every last one of them. They don't want to be up to date. You've got to get through. Hey, that's all you got? A female? Wife? A girlfriend? And talking about a family? Hey, you got to have 10, 15, 30 different types of families if you up with it. I mean, you better get with it. I mean, you're behind times. You know, you're old-fashioned. And the white supremacists said, we got them. We got them. We got them. We can jerk them around in every area of activity now with no sweat. Because their priorities now is to put on their mother's dresses.
Wow. Okay. All right, Corey, there you go. There's your answer right there. We're way over, so we're going to take a break right here. You're listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neil A. Fuller, Jr., and we do thank you for getting into the show. Appreciate it. But the contact number to do that, for those of you who are just getting in. Hey, Christopher, by the way, I just clicked you off, so call back in so we can get you back on here. Here's the contact number. It's 516-453-9921. Again, 516-453-9921. And you get right back in here and have Mr. Fuller answer your questions. He's going to talk about the book that he has written, which you can get by going to producejustice.com. That is producejustice.com. You can do that. And he was on the Carl Nelson Show last week. That's also on producejustice.com. producejustice.com. Okay, I believe that is it on this segment. Oh, yeah, men. If you're over 45, please go and get your prostate screening. I think you have to do a blood test a week before, and they do all that and give you all the results of that. And then the doctor, then you go to the doctor the next week. At least that's how mine goes. And then you go in there and discuss if they found anything, and then they check it to make sure that it's not swollen or anything like that. And, you know, whatever procedures need to be done, they will take care of that for you and let you know. And then the other health screenings. We, as particularly as black men, but I'm just speaking about men, period, we don't talk. And that really bothers me. We don't discuss nothing except for sports or something like that, or maybe some girl or something like that. But when it comes down to health, we don't say nothing. then that that really, really bothers me. So anyway, for all the men that are listening, you know, to today's programming, please go and get a, you know, check yourself out. Get yourself checked out to make sure nothing is wrong so we can stay in this fight against racism and white supremacy. Okay, Christopher, I accidentally pushed the wrong button, so you got off. Clicked you off, didn't mean to do that, but that's how it happens. But if you call back in, tell the call screener about this so they can put you right back in the rotation, and you'll go to the top of the line here. Let me see here to make sure you're not in here yet. Okay. All righty. Anyway, in the meantime, in between time, let's go to Youngstown, and that's my man, Talif. Talif, you are on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller.
Yes, sir.
Everybody's listening. Hope everybody's well. But you're right, the prostate thing, I'm not sure if Mr. Fuller uses the VA, but the VA did mine in my primary care physician. She's pretty good at the VA, so I'm not sure if Mr. Fuller uses his VA benefits, but the VA, if you guys are veterans, the VA will, as far as my experience, will pretty much take care of pretty much anything that you have. I know some guys complain, but I don't know if Mr. Fuller uses his, but I use mine, and they take care of you pretty good. Also, there are a lot of different things that we don't talk about, Mr. Bobby, in our community. Not only health, we don't talk about the sexual predators, but I won't get into that so much. But it's not only that. We don't talk about how to build wealth and how to grow.
Exactly.
And Mr. Fuller, you mentioned when you said, are we not that dumb? Yeah, we are that dumb. Every year, every other year, here come the Democrats and the Republicans. Vote for me and I set you free. But like Mr. Bobby said, we never come together as a group and say, why don't we try to help do for self? But speaking to that, Mr. Fuller, you've been around quite a while, and I'm sure this game has always been run. But if you notice, there's always a so-called blackface on either side, Republican or Democrat, that come on with fear-mongering. If you don't vote for Trump, he's dead. You're going to vote for Biden, vote for Obama. Well, Mr. Fuller, why is it that we, and I know you probably mentioned this before on the show, but why are we so afraid, like Mr. Bobby said, things that we don't talk about, and sit behind closed doors and say, you know what, we've been a part of this system so long. Why don't we come together and at least, I think it was John Henry Clark that said, at least make a pamper for your own baby. We buying third grade junk for people that don't like us anyway. So, Mr. Fuller, you've been around a lot longer than most of us. Why is it that, because in the 20s and 30s we had to have our own businesses because they wouldn't support us anyway. Why are we so afraid, like I always say, to get off the plantation? And one more thing I want to say about the so-called black women being unprotected. Well, they don't treat each other too well, Mr. Fuller. But I do want you to answer me that question, because people get mad at me. I don't say happy birthday, Merry Christmas, because those are something that somebody else gave us. So why are we so afraid, Mr. Fuller, to act like we want to do things on our own and still want our oppressors to take care of us? And Mr. Bobby, I'll listen, but Mr. Bobby
okay.
is right, people. Take care of your health and your wealth. There's two things that we should do as a people.
Nope.
And Claude Anderson will call it group economics. But, Mr. Bobby, I'm glad you brought that up. I beat that to death with my family, and it's still not happening yet.
Okay. All righty. Mr. Fuller?
Well, black people all over the world, because we're talking about a world problem.
Yes.
Under the system of white supremacy. That's what that means. So that's not a priority for us. We don't wake up in the morning and go to bed at night like I do, but collectively thinking about one thing: how do you get rid of this system and replace it with something better? Every black person on the planet should have that in mind as the life's mission. We don't have any other mission other than that. And if you make any other mission other than that, then you're not on your J-O-B. And why are we this way? Because the white supremacists got us just trying to impress each other. And that's as far as we ever want to go. Black people just want to, you know, how well I can get other black people. You know, you got presidents, so-called, of countries. All they want to do is strut around talking about their president of their countries when they're not a president over nothing. Why? Because the white supremacists are running their entire system, directly or indirectly. And there's not a one of them that can say otherwise, because there's no evidence of that being otherwise. So it's not just here, it's everywhere. There's no such thing as a black person being in charge of anything anywhere on this planet. Zero. Just find out, you know, who's running things here indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, it's not even no white people here. We're all together here, all of us black people. I say, how do you eat? Where does, do you drive a scooter? Uh-huh. Okay, I'm looking in. I'm in your country. I'm looking out the window. Where those scooters come from? Where does the concrete come from?
Mm-hmm.
I see ships in the harbor. Where do those ships come from? Why are they here? Did you build any of those ships that are coming from here and there, sir, ma'am? Just asking.
Yeah.
What do you build here? Oh, we got oil refineries here. We got this. And, oh, okay. Let me, waltz me over there. Uh-huh. Name of this company? Okay, take me to the front office. Now we're getting somewhere. Yeah. You know, are you a white man? Yes, I am. Or are you born and raised here? Yes, I was. Where are your people from and who runs this company? I run the company, but the president, I get my orders from him. He's black. And my people are from Finland. And they are, you know, we got the telegraph system here and all this and whatnot. Of course, we don't have enough educated people here to take care of much of anything. So we send a bunch of them to Finland to learn how to do this, that, and the other. Oh. So in other words, the people from Finland are running everything here in your country, and you black, that matters. You wouldn't even have an economic system if it wasn't for all those investors and whatnot. That's what they call themselves. Actually, they've taken over the economy. Well, no, you can't put it that way. After all, I am in charge. Oh, you're the front man for Finnish countries. I see how that works. That's what we got everywhere on the planet.
Yes.
Truth be told, it's called white supremacy.
White supremacy. Okay.
And that's why you see black people everywhere saying, I got to get out of Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I
got to
get out of Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this thing, your suggestion about having our own people in Haiti, they say they are independent. and been saying that for years. People in Liberia, they call it Liberia, liberated people, go there and take a look and see who runs everything. Just take a look. Or ask somebody who is there, born and raised there. I mean, a bona fide, to the bone Liberian. And just ask them just a straight up question. They'll say, well, I run it. Say, well, who runs you? Now we're getting somewhere. That's all you got to do. Ask questions. Like Mr. Bobby said, ask questions about everything. Just don't go by what you see on the surface.
Exactly.
Who runs you? And you can ask all the black people here. Ask me who runs me. I know I do some running when I can to keep up. Who's running me?
Absolutely.
The white supremacists run Neely Fuller Jr., including they run his book off of their press.
There,
why?
That's right.
He ain't got no press. That's why. And a whole lot of people that claim that they got one.
Yes, sir.
Well,
yes, sir.
Check on that.
Hmm. That's the reality of the situation that you have to come to. As a matter of fact, that was one of the. Thank you, Talib. That was one of the things that on the points that I had to make or was going to make. And that was a good question, Mr. Fuller. Who runs stuff? You have to come to that reality. You have to know. And this is what the book. This is what the book, the United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. Ecosystem concept explains suggestions to focus you in all the nine areas of people activity of what's going on, who runs the show, but what you can do about it. I like that title. Listen, the United Independent sounds a little oxymoronic, doesn't it? But it isn't. It really isn't, which brings me into this point, and I'll get to you, Tess. About the Shawshank Redemption. Mr. Fuller, you brought that up, and you referenced it many, 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 many times about what Andy Dufresne did, focusing in on him, what he did and what he didn't do. You know, got to be balanced here. And one of the things that was brought out, and you often said this, that the system of white supremacy is a global prison system. And when I looked at the Shawshank Redemption again, I looked at where Andy Dufresne was at. He was in prison, locked up. But what he did is that he got focused on his freedom. And what he had to go through, the whippings, the rapes, and all that. But he used what he had or what was in front of him right there, the warden. He came up with a plan and stuck to it. And it took him years, I understand, to get it. But he finally did it. What he had to travel through, that excrement to get out, and what he did, and help Red, you know, to go along with him. Mr. Fuller, observation on those points there, sir?
Oh, yes. What you're saying is true. In every scene. And then you look at the big picture, and you look at the small picture. You look at all the pictures.
Yes.
And look at what is this movie really about? It's about accomplishing what you set out to do, but first of all, you have to know what it is you're setting out to do.
The four wants.
Yes. Yes. What is it that you want to do? Why do you want to do it? How do you plan to do it?
Yes, yes.
And what do you expect the constructive result to be? And in the case of Andy Dufresne, I'm going to get from this prison to say what to nail. and I'm going to be taking people on boating trips and making money. And on my own, have my time and being the master of my time, which they have taken away from me here at Shawshank Prison.
Yes.
And not only that, because I had some help doing it in the form of a black guy named Red, I'm going to compensate him by have him follow me to say what the nail. What did Red tell him when they were in that yard? He said, look, Anthony, you just got these pipe dreams. You are in up here in Shawshank Prison in Maine, and you're dreaming about a place called Cihuatanejo that's down in Mexico somewhere, and that ain't real. Forget about that. That'll drive you crazy. And Anders said, look, I'm going to get busy living or get busy dying.
Yes.
One way or another. In other words, I'm going to die real quick in this prison, or I'm going to say what's the nail. And so I got a plan for getting there.
Yes.
That
yes.
You haven't even thought about, because nobody in here thinks that far ahead. I'm thinking way ahead, all right, you know. And not only that, I'm going to take this warden down with me, and
yes.
he's going to help me get out of here.
Yes.
Before
yes.
I do, he's going to shoot himself in the foot. Well, rather, it turned out the warden shot himself in the head,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and Andy arranged that. And
mm-hmm.
he did it while using what? What the warden gave him. What's one of the things that the warden gave him? A Bible.
Exactly.
Said, now you read this and you'll be all right. And here's that two in the Bible.
Yes. Yeah,
right?
That was one. Yes.
The two
yes.
that he used to get out of prison was used by planting it in the Bible. Because the warden wasn't checking the Bible. I mean, who checks the Bible for that chiseling tool that he used, took 20 years to do it,
mm-hmm.
and to chisel out of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And all kinds of connections in that movie. I advocate, it's on my movie list, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
But, and it's one of my favorites because I choose movies by the number of lessons. And Shawshank Redemption has a lesson in it in every scene.
Yes.
If you look for the lessons.
Mm-hmm.
We just go and look at stuff for just entertainment. Black people's entertainment should be, don't bother to entertain yourself except to come away from that entertainment with a lesson that you can use.
You're right, which is precisely one of the reasons why I, you know, it was pointed out, because I see the book that you have written. I see the areas in the book that you have written where in the movie he took advantage of the situation of where he was at. Somebody told me, well, you can't do
a worst case.
Yeah, yeah.
And he walked around thinking, I'm getting out of here.
I'm getting out of here.
Now it's just a matter of figuring out how I'm going to go about doing it. And not only get out of here, but stay out. And not only stay out, get out and stay out, but bring down a rotten system in my wake. And not only do that, but take one of the persons who don't even know that I'm including him in that. What did he tell Red? He said, go up in Buxton if you ever get out of here and go to a wall.
Yeah.
I got something buried near that wall.
Right, right.
And he said, what is it, Andy? He said, you'll know when you get there. He said, if you ever get out of there, you know, if you get despairing and you start thinking about, you know, going back to prison, which is what you'll be on the fast track for doing, because you ain't got no talents to stay out of here. See, but you just do that as a last resort. There's a place
right.
up in Buxton.
Go exactly.
there.
Exactly.
Right. And
see,
you'll be all right from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
Red,
yeah.
I love looking at that scene when Red, Red dug that rock up and then found that box and then looked in the box and looked and saw an envelope, and he took that brown envelope, and what did he see? All that money.
All that money. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he heard a bird. It always amuses me. He looked up. Oh, wow! You know, he thought
yeah.
somebody was checking him out.
Yeah. The point is that this is where we are at. We are in this
yeah.
system. So
right.
You know. Okay. So what? That it's against us. We have to learn how to
learn
use resistance. The system against that. That's why I like the book, in that united yet independent. No matter
yes.
what we have to go through, and we are going
yes.
to go through stuff. So what? Big deal.
Yes.
We still
go
keep
through it.
Doing it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But don't stop.
Don't stop.
The end and then never stop.
Yeah.
I mean, every day he said, what's the one thing that should be on my mind more than anything? Is getting out of here and staying out. Why? Because
head.
I'm
right.
here. I got
yeah.
two life sentences. Two.
Yeah.
So there's no place for me to be.
Somebody said that Andy was, you know, was a white man. Okay, so what? You're
yeah.
a black man. No, it won't make no difference. You can't give up. You got to keep your focus. You
keep
gotta
your
keep
focus.
Focus. And
yeah.
and then do it. And yes, you're going to face. We are going to face. A lot of hardships and a lot of things, but you keep on going. What Martin Luther King said, if you can't walk, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, do what? Crawl. If you can't crawl, what? Roll. But whatever you do, or whatever we do, keep on moving. So, anyway, going back to the health thing, and as Brother Talib has said, not just health, and I'm speaking about the prostate screening and so forth, but in all areas, even in the finance, Fuller talked about, you know, getting wills and things like that. Brothers and sisters, we can do that. It's just doing it, knowing how to do that. How do you do that? Asking questions. This is what the
yes.
book is about. Mr. Fuller, we got a minute for this section before we move on. Speak about that book for a minute and what we can do.
Yeah, well, we did a lot of talking ourselves, so we didn't get many calls and whatnot.
Well, they're there. I'm
but, I hope this information is crucial. And the eating part, black people need to be, we need to be pioneers now. That's something we can do easily, is that start eating healthy food. And we can even go into business. I mean, saying black people, we're not eating all that grease no more, okay? In fact, we're going to design, because a lot of us love the food and whatnot, so we pay attention to food a lot, but we can revolutionize the food industry. I mean, and close up some of those places that have been making all them billions, making black people sick.
Yeah, that happens. All right. Well, anyway, here as we get ready to close, somebody tell you that you can't do something, you don't have to believe that. You don't
yes.
have to accept that. You can if you want to. How do you do that? You ask questions and you start doing it. Yeah, are you going to fail? You sure are. But you're going to gain, too. You got to keep on doing it. Anyway, we do thank you for the listening to the first hour there. Of the program. We do have a second hour. For those of you that have to go, all right, hopefully something was said that could be, that was inspirational to you. You know, of course you don't have to accept that, but hopefully it was. But we hope to see hear from you next week. But for those who are going to stick and stay, do that. Stick and stay, don't go away, because we have another hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. coming up in about 5 seconds.
You don't fail until you stop.
All righty. Welcome back to the second hour of the Counter Wrestling Coaching with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. To get in contact with the show, as Tess has done in New York, all you have to do is call 516-453-9921. Press the number one button if you have a question or comment for Mr. Fuller. And you can get right on, wait till the call screener screens you in. Make sure you give the call screener your name. If you are a first-time caller, make sure you tell the call screener that you are a first-time caller, and you will be heard. Yes. We were told this morning that Mr. Fuller was on the Carl Nelson Show last week. I did hear it live. But we also have it on our web, or on our site at producejustice.com. It's on there. 2 hours program is on there. Even though Carl was a little late getting Mr. Fuller on, but it's on there so you can get that. Books and materials can be obtained by going to producejustice.com. That is at producejustice.com. And I've been talking about men's health in particular this day, that prostate screening. Make sure that you do that, or your primary care physician, or whatever test that you need to take, because men, in particular men, we don't talk, so let's get that conversation going, and then let's do. Ask questions, what to do and what not to do. Okay, let's see here. Let's go to New York, and Tess, get ready. Get you right over there, and here we go. All right, Tess, good morning. Good morning. Go ahead, sir. Tess,
question
are you
regarding
there?
The...
Oh, yeah, there
yes,
you go.
Sir.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
I have a question regarding the revised edition of the compensatory code on page 438.
438. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Page states, every person has a major flaw that he or she should not have. What is that major flaw?
Oh, whatever it is. See, that's why I call it the United Independent System. You look at yourself and find out what your flaws are. You'll discover whatever is hindering you from doing things that need to be done. That's a flaw. You're put here to solve problems. That's the first assumption, based on logic. Nothing that Neely Fuller says, because everything that Neely Fuller says better be logical. Oh, that's a flaw. Neely Fuller's got them. Everybody's got them. Neely Fuller
mm-hmm.
has flaws,
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of them. You know, anytime you are not getting constructive results, that means you're flawed. Every move you make is supposed to be a profitable move. Meaning you didn't harm anybody. You helped everybody that had anything to do with you. And the major person that you helped was you. That's why I call it the United Independent System. You become a whole nation within yourself first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you start talking about building a black nation and all this, no. You nationalize yourself. Otherwise, anything else you're trying to straighten out, you know, it's going to be flawed, but you have to know what the flaws are. You start thinking you ain't got no flaws, and the other people that you are interacting with and all like that. Oh, no, I mean, you know, the people in my church, we ain't into that or something like that. No, even if you're talking about church now, hey, even the Bible that you have says you're flawed. I mean, so it ain't right what Neely Fuller says. So find out what your flaws are and work on correcting them. That's all. You don't have to explain anything to anybody, anything like that. Just do it yourself. Now, I have flaws. What are they? And list them. Set them. You can make more sense out of things sometimes when you write things down.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, I have a flaw. I mean, you know, flaw number one. I might have two flaws. I might have 50. Or just about everything you do is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, list everything that you do. And then say, now, what can I do to get rid of this flaw? And then work on it. And how are all problems solved? Questions and answers.
Questions and answers. Mm-hmm.
And you start with that one. Start getting rid of the flaws that you have. And then when you discover flaws in other people, you can just say and put it in the form of a question. See, don't accuse. Don't say you have a, this is a flaw in you. All right? That incites hostility.
Mm-hmm,
and pushback.
Mm-hmm.
You just say, Vincent, why are you doing this? And what result is it going to produce?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like someone advocating that you do something, like I talked about in the earlier hour at great length, I mean, in the area of sex. And they say, well, why don't you just always talking about this girlfriend and whatnot. Why don't you start thinking about some other type of sex? I mean, we got all types of sex going on here now. I mean, this ain't like the old-fashioned days. And so you ask, what is going to be the improvement? Say, is it an improvement? And if it is an improvement, how? What's the constructive result? Show me the constructive result. And think about it like you're supposed to think about anything before you get involved in it. Like someone called in on a couple of occasions and asked me something about religion and why didn't I choose this religion or choose that one? It's because I'm still learning. That's the answer to that question. I mean, it looks like most of the religious people spend a lot of time fighting about religion. And I don't need that kind of fight. So I have a religion that calls for me to say I'm still searching. That's why I always say I'm still learning. As long as you're still learning, you ain't gotten where you need to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. See what I mean? As long as you are still learning, and Neely Fuller says that all the time, in every area of activity, not just in religion, trying to figure out which best way to go there. Religion means a strong belief backed up by action. I don't know what to do about white supremacy because I ain't going to be able to do nothing without doing something about that. That's the conclusion I came to. I'm not going to be able to go around them. The white supremacists say, you don't go around me and do nothing with your black self on my planet. You think you're going to go around me? You're going to pass by me without my permission? You go where I send you, boy, Negro Neely, and you know it. Now, you can impress other black people with your black self, which what all of you do. You spend all your time trying to impress each other. You don't impress me at all because there ain't nothing about you to impress me. I don't have to ask you anything. I tell you what to do. I don't care what religion you got. You hide it over there in that in the ghetto, and don't you come out.
Yeah.
Don't you get in my face with your religion. You know better than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, when I look around, that's a flaw in us. We don't know what to do about white supremacy. Why? Because it's still the greatest show on earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's Neely Fuller. He's still trying.
He's still trying.
Keep on trying, boy.
Keep on trying.
That's what they tell me. They tell me that. If they say anything to me at all. But really, white people don't even talk to me because they say I ain't that significant. And they're correct. When white people come looking for you, to talk to you, that means, hey, you are somehow disturbing their business. And they're going to set that straight. They're not looking for you. It means you ain't doing nothing against them.
All righty. All right. Thank you, Tess in New York. Justice Warrior, I agree with you. Stuck in the European tradition. Yeah, that's what we've been taught. We have to learn how to unstuck ourselves. How about that one? Mr. Fuller, Let me see here. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah. This is from the Gmails. Mr. Bobby, please do not mention my name. But he said, Mr. Fuller, he says this. Is the possible TikTok ban an example of white supremacists using economic power?
Yes, if it's white supremacists who are doing it. That's the answer. Questions and answers, that's the answer to that question. If it's white supremacists doing it, why? Because the white supremacists do nothing except something that's going to make white supremacy stronger. Anytime they come around you, they come around you with one thing in mind. I am looking, and they'll be polite. The refined ones are always polite. I mean, their courtesy is way above board. They say nice things, I mean, in thousands of different ways. But they have one thing in mind. I'm going to control everything about this black person's existence and do it in such a way he got no idea that I'm controlling him. If I want to.
Okay.
It's called white supremacy.
It's called white supremacy.
The greatest thing on earth. And here in 2024, that show is the greatest show the world has ever seen. Called the system of white supremacy. Not the United States of America government. Stop saying that. Stop mixing up something that has nothing to do with the other at all. I keep saying that. And black people call in on the show and say, well, you know, America, you've already shot yourself in the foot. You're talking about white supremacy. There's no such thing as America. That's a dream. That's a concept. White people themselves call it a work in progress. And that is an excellent work, by the way. If you're talking about America or Africa or Asia, these are works in progress. They don't exist. There's no such thing as an African continent. Hasn't ever been. You got tribes, and a lot of them will let you know it. Only thing I care about is my tribe, and everything else. Don't talk to me. I ain't interested.
Okay.
I mean, you know, are you a member of my tribe? Well, get out of my face.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about this African stuff. You know, we talk that stuff, but everything boils down to, are you a member of the tribe?
Mm-hmm.
And the white supremacists look at that and say that's a weakness. And we will export that to the hilt.
To the hilt, yes. Okay. All righty. Can't mention the person's name, but thank you for answering that question. Before I get to you, Nicole, and thank you for calling back, I'd like to thank all of you who responded to the Reverend Jeremiah A. Wright's speech. Hell you talking about? I had so many responses from that. For those of you who did not, who have not, check that out and hear what he had to say and how relevant it is. And by the way, he made that in 2016. But if you didn't know what I just told you, you would think that he did it yesterday or Sunday. It's called Hell You Talking About by Jeremiah A. Wright. Dale, I want to thank you for listening to that and what it brought out to you. All right, Rita AAA, check that out. All right, Nicolette, thank you for calling in because we didn't get you last week, but we got you now. Get ready. Here she is. I don't know if you're going to be a lawyer one day, but sometimes you sound like it, Nicolette. Do your thing.
Okay, so I was talking to a very respectful person, so my question is for her today. Neela Fuller, to expound on what did... What the,
hello?
Of you talking about Bob Hope and the model, what mentality, or what did you want us to receive from that?
Betty Grable.
Betty Grable?
Was a woman he mentioned.
Hello?
Oh, Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Yeah, she was asking you a question. Yeah, she was asking you. Hey, Nicole, repeat that question again.
Okay, I'm asking you, what was the symbolism of you telling us about Bob Hope having the model on his show during a war, or taking him, or as him being a comedian, presenting the model to the soldiers? What was the point of? I was talking to a very respectful person, and I think we missed the concept or the example that you was using for that.
A white woman. I mean, that's what war is all about. From the perspective that Bob Hope was talking about, I mean, he made it graphic. He had the woman there. He said, in case you guys, you know, sometimes have a slip in your mind about what World War II is all about and why you're fighting, said, this is your answer. And the guys all cheered. As if to say, yeah, well, you know, hey, we show pictures and whatnot of, you know, who we want to get back to. I mean, you know, you get to know somebody and whatnot, one of the first things you want to do is, well, this is my wife, all right? This is what it's all about. This is what, you know, this Gettysburg, you know? When white people talk, that's, hey, you're talking about the Holy Grail. A white female vagina is the Holy Grail of what everything is about in the system of white supremacy. When all the smoke clears and all the bodies been piled up, whatnot, this is what it's about. When you don't make that a priority, you're not doing nothing. Even all you black males, if you don't put that white woman up on a throne, but then a lot of white people, see, when you spread poison for somebody else, like they're doing with all this sexual confusion, you get some of the poison on yourself. Now that's, right now, that's being damaging to the alpha white male. Because now you've got more and more conflict going on between the white male and the white female. That's escalating. Why? Because they tried to separate and done a pretty good job of the black male with the black female. And having black males chasing the white male. The black male chasing the white male. And they want black females to be left with nobody but each other. And then what do they do with the black female? The long-range plan is have black females marry each other and join the Army and Navy and Air Force all over the world and die on battlefronts. While the black males are chasing each other, are chasing the ultimate prize, a white male, and saying, let's get married. And it's right there in your face. Now, the downside of that is the white male is letting a lot of these things get out of hand that's not in the plan. And that is, they don't want to make too many white males into females in order to get enough people on board to continue the system of white supremacy by faking out everybody's sexuality. In the Christian church among black males, including the preachers, and that's why you're having the Pope even changing his mind. And we're paying out all this money about what's going on behind the scenes. Well, let's change what's going on behind the scenes and maybe incorporate that into Catholicism. And maybe let it spread to all the other religions since it's halfway there anyway.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay, Nicole, did you have another question on that here?
No, I thank you. And I did have something from last week, but I can't even think of it because he kind of blew me back, and I want to digest that and understand what he just said on that. So I might have something next week. I appreciate y'all as always.
Okay, Nicolette. Thank you very much. All righty. All right. I want to throw something out there, but maybe I'll hold off. It had to do with the Pope, and then I'm going to put a little parentheses there and put an S in that parentheses. Those who understand code know that, or put this before you. Maybe this won't be too bad. Do you think there's more than one Pope? And if it is, let me know, especially the Gmailers. Okay. Mr. Fuller, this is the Gmail here. Let me see here. And this is going back just a little bit. But Shay said this. Now, this is to readdress this. Let me see here. Says, I wrote a few weeks back asking about staying in the question lane. I doubted that it was possible to always remain in the question lane. This is a repeat what we're going to update a little bit. I thought we would surely have to make statements at some point in time. Mr. Fuller just doubled down on his stance that we should remain in the question lane at all times. I'm slowly becoming convinced that it's possible, but it's difficult because I've never seen such a conversation. Now, Mr. Fuller, again, is there any way that you might be able to give more examples from your experience of how such a conversation could run? And then please let me... Oh, okay. Yeah. All righty. Go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
No, all problems, save you, it's best, I found from experimenting and from experience, that once I start making statements, then the conversation stops being a conversation and starts melding into an argument. It morphs into an argument. There's a difference between a conversation and an argument. An argument means you're going to have conflict. And even sometimes an argument will lead to a fight. But a conversation always leads to a constructive result. So what's the mechanics for doing that? Stay in the question lane. At least one person stay in that question lane, and that reduces the possibility of an argument. Because questions and answers are just questions and answers. So you can tell the person, well, I don't have a question now. Why? Because you don't have a question. Or I will have a question later on or something like that. All right? But that's why I say just adopt what I say. I'm still learning. So if you're still learning, it means you ask questions and you get answers. Because there's no such thing as a question without an answer. And it's always going to profit the person who is asking the question. As always, even if you know the answer, put it in the form of a question anyway, because you know your answer. You might hear an answer that is better than the answer that you have given yourself. And so it's a win-win situation, all right? And it beats an argument of any kind. Just questions and answers. Now, the caller said it's difficult to do. Well, you tell the person. Now, it's difficult for me. I feel like I want to say something. Now, you can always answer that question. That's when you make a statement. That's the only way. You know, you ask a question. The person is going to have to make a statement in order to answer your question. But the general practice should be for you to stay in the question lane and saying that it's difficult. That's true. But not really if you just say, I don't have a question at this time that will give me what I want. So I'll try to think of, I started to make a statement, but I'm not going to make that statement until I think of a better way to approach what I really want and do it with a question. That'll be a better way.
Mm-hmm.
So it means you just postpone your question. They do it in court all the time.
So yeah.
We don't have answers to that right now. We're going to have to do some further investigations. Or we're going to have to postpone it until tomorrow. Maybe we will have an answer tomorrow. They do it all the time. Say, we don't have an answer. And we don't go past when we don't have an answer. We don't just jump to something else. You know? No, it's crucial to get an answer. All questions have answers. And you don't move to the second question until the first question is asked and answered.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mr. Fuller, this is precisely why I recommend your book, because it has suggestions in it. And the more I read it, I find out things to do and not to do. For me, I don't know about anyone else, but I used to just think one way. Just that I didn't think about the other half or the balance in life. The universe comes with balance. And I always just went one way, but now I'm trying to make myself be balanced. That's why I say what to do and what not to do rather than just concentrating on just one thing. In other words, what to do. I didn't think about what not to do, but now I'm thinking, which is one of the things that the book has helped me and hopefully inspired other people that we can get by going to producejustice.com. As a matter of fact, that's a good way to end this segment, okay? All right, let's take a break here, our last break here. You're listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, and we hope that you are enjoying today's program. But to get in contact with the show, you know the numbers, what to do. All you have to do is call 516-453-9921. Wait for the call screener to come on, and then give the call screener your name so that I can give you your proper introduction when it is your time. Yes, just as Wayne has done in the ATL. Thank you, Wayne. We're going to get to you. We were informed this morning that the interview that Mr. Fuller had on the Carl Nelson Show is up on our website. That is at producejustice.com. If you missed it, it's there. Go get it. And as I mentioned, you can get the books there too. Reread it. Keep on reading it. Even if you've read it before, read it and understand it, and then let's start acting on it. Do what you need to do to do what you need to do. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. I think that's going to be it. Oh, yeah. If you want to get on chat room, all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com, and you want to get on where it says programs. You click that bad boy on, and then when you do that, you're looking for the Produce Justice Show. Click that, and then the window opens up for you to join the chatters, and you can get in there. Good conversation today. Good conversation today in there. Very compelling, very thought-provoking. Good questions in there. You may want to do that. Okay, let's get into this last half of an hour, and we're going to go down to the ATL, Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, the busiest airport in the world. Wayne, get ready, Wayne. All righty, let's see here. Okay, there we go. Wayne, good morning. You are on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Long life to you. Long life and prosper to you, Mr. Boggy and Mr. Dr. Fuller.
Thank you, sir.
The first thing I want, I got one VGQ and one question, but the first
okay.
thing I want to ask you, I did fill out the request for the book, but I haven't got a response yet. And, I moved to my VGQ.
Okay.
What I'd like to say about the story that Dr. Fuller said last week about Jalap, that was a very interesting story, a very powerful story.
Yeah, Jalapi,
story.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had me thinking all week. And he was not confused about himself. People was confused about him.
Okay.
He was not concerned about the future, the past. He was just concerned about the now, what he can do now. He wasn't confused at all. And there's a lot of things that we can do. We can do a whole lot. The first thing we got to do is change the way we think.
Okay.
We got to want change ourselves. We got to want change. If we don't want change, there's not going to be any change. And we got to change the way we think. We've been taught a lot of things that's not right and not true. And the thing about it, we got to want truth and we got to want right. And we got to ask ourselves a lot of questions. We got to ask ourselves a lot of questions, and we got to get the answers to make some changes in our life first, like Dr. Fuller was saying. I didn't hear the whole half of the show, but we got to want change. And we got to ask ourselves a lot of questions. And we got to get answers. But the main thing is that we got to ask questions.
Ask
and get
questions,
change.
Yeah. And okay.
And I'm going to go to the question. Dr. Fuller, I'm going to elaborate on the question that I asked last week. You said you got like 500 books that you wouldn't want to put in to the book that you already wrote. And you also said that you got a lot of sticky tapes around the desk with notes. If you can take two of those sticky tapes to put into the books with the questions that you got in the sticky tapes, what would it be?
If I had to pick two books?
No, two other. You said you got a lot of sticky tapes all over your desk with a lot of questions that you would like to put into the book, a lot of notes. If you can take two of those notes that you got in your desk to add to the book, what would it be?
If I could take two notes to add to the book, what would they be?
Yeah, the two notes that you got in your desk. You said you got a bunch of notes stick all over your desk that you would have wanted to add to the book. What would two notes that you would like to add to the book, what would it be? Two questions or...
I don't, yeah. In answer to that question, I do not know. I would have to go through all of these little notes, scraps of paper and all like that, and pick out what I would consider the most important of all of them. And really, to tell the truth, I'm not going to do that because it would take up, oh, my goodness, how many years?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like my desk. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and not only that, I'd like to have the summation of, I have a stack of books that's nothing but quotes of different people. I think I have, I'm looking at them right now, right here by my desk on a little folding table. I have everything from the Bible to Acts of Faith by Jana Van Zandt. I have Will Durant's The Story of Philosophy. Now, these are books that are primarily, there's a lot of quotations in them. That includes the Bible. I have another one called Divine Help. I can't quite make out who that's by. Okay. Now, these are books that, if you would ask me, for example, which book would I choose first? I don't know in answer to that question. I would just pick up any of them, because those are the next books I have in line, if I ever get around to it. And it's about, let's see, I have maybe about 15 of them that are off of a shelf of about 500, okay? And I said, now I'm going to concentrate on what's in these books, if I ever get around to it. This stack of books here, about 15 of them, has been there for some time. I haven't gotten around to not one of them yet, all right? Including getting back to the Bible, because there's a lot of quotes in the Bible that give excellent advice, particularly in the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
Right. And anybody that's familiar with the Bible knows that, Corinthians and all that. So I just say, learn whatever it is. Look at what's going on right now and try to codify it.
Right.
And that's the best that I can do. Other than that, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Codified means, now, in this thing, this problem, usually comes in the form of a problem, what's the best thing to do and say about this problem? And don't turn loose to it until you come up with an answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that means you might have to talk to a lot of people or read a lot of books or newspapers or whatever. You never know where information you can use comes from.
Yeah, because we're looking for constructive results here.
Yes, that's all you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
If I do this, will it produce a constructive result?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Always ask. That is the primary question, because you're looking for constructive results in every move that you make and every breath that you take.
That's right. All right, Wayne, thank you. He brought up Jalopy, but before we go back into that, what is your take, and you did mention it in the earlier, maybe in the first hour, about the stuff that's going in, I think you said Liberia, and also your take on what's going on in Haiti. Now, I have to remember, at least I look at it this way, that I'm looking at it from a white perspective because the news is sanitized. But you've been around and you for a long time. You've seen wars, rumors of wars, and different types of strategies and all that kind of stuff, wars that are not reported in places that is still going on. What is your take on Haiti and Liberia and other places that may have that do have conflict going on?
The Liberia and Haiti, under the system of white supremacy, the white supremacists themselves are examples of what the white supremacists say. Now, we want to use this. We want to use Liberia, and we want to use Haiti as an example, two examples of what happens when white people have a little experiment called letting black people go for themselves, to use a cliche term.
Mm-hmm.
Black people on their own, even though the white supremacists, when you look at it, they set that up for failure.
Yes, okay.
See what I mean? But they're making it look like, and a lot of black people have bought into it. Now, these are Liberia. These are black people who, it was called liberated people. That's where the word Liberia came from, all right? And under a man, a white man named James Monroe. You know, this is black people on their own. If you want to shine an example of black people on their own, white people don't have nothing to do with them, all right? And they're showing, hey, you let us go for ourselves and be cut off and whatnot. We can do it. We know
okay,
how
wait,
to act.
Wait a minute, Mr. Fuller.
What?
I'm getting a report that this our sound is distorted. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully it's not. If it is being distorted, can somebody in control of fix that? Oh, okay, Mr. Fuller, go ahead. And then somebody let me know that it's been corrected. Go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
Haiti, historically speaking, is supposed to be a shining example of white people got their hands off, black people are doing everything, showing all of their knowledge going back thousands of years or whatnot. These are the show places. Every black person should go to Liberia to learn what a real civilization looks like, or go to Haiti, and then they go back, the white supremacists go back behind the bush and just laugh. They say, now we set this whole thing up as, oh, you're talking about black people being on their own. Haiti and Liberia, you just got here from Mars, so you just want to know about these black people and what it looks like on their own. Well, we got a couple of places we're going to show you, all right? And the white supremacists look at each other and wink and say, Haiti, you want to go by, you know, they got their independence. And the black people in Liberia, they have their independence. You know, it might be a lot of confusion in South Africa and all like that. So these are examples of what black people on planet Earth on their own look like. And they use Haiti and they use Liberia. And they wink at each other while they're doing it because they say, we have made those places complete disasters. Yeah, when you go there, you see black people. Yeah, you see lots of black people. And they are on their own. They are what black liberation looks like, according to the white supremacists. Hands off. No white folks. You ain't gonna hardly see no white folks nowhere. All black. And this is what black success looks like. Liberia and Haiti. Go there. Take a look. And then they wink at everybody, you know. But they want to get what that wink means. See, we have made disasters out of both of those places, and they are permanent disasters. They ain't going to never be nothing. But we claim we ain't had nothing to do with it. That's black people on their own. They'll tell you that. We are independent.
Yeah.
That's what they'll tell you. Look at them. That's what you want to be? You know? All you black people to believe that, go to Liberia. All you black people, you know, that talk about separation and all that, go to Haiti. You know, you'll be on your own. You can do your thing. And they laugh.
Right.
Behind the fence.
Exactly.
But but if you understand white supremacy, you look at that and say, well, I don't think nobody believes that because you don't see nobody flocking there.
See, and this is what you said at the beginning of every program, what you just said. If you don't understand white supremacy.
If you don't understand white supremacy, you ain't going to understand nothing.
No. What it is and how it works.
Yes. Yes.
You said that right there. Every program.
Over and over again.
Over and over and over. What it is and how it works.
If you don't understand that, everything is going to confuse you.
Thank you.
And a confused people will always be dominated by whom? Somebody who is not confused.
You know, this is why it's imperative, I feel this is why it's imperative that the publication that you have written, you know, you have to read it over and over, because you might miss something that you didn't get the first time, but you're trying to understand this system, what it is and how it works. I'm still trying to do that, what it will do, what it will not do, what to say, what not to say, constantly. Not because you say I'm still learning. I'm still learning because I don't know these things. Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Fuller. Okay, now, Wayne had talked about jalopy, and it was a very interesting story. In fact, you brought out some things that I didn't know. But quickly, for those who don't know, because somebody did ask about that term, and they said that you would know what jalopy meant, and I didn't understand that until you mentioned about that. But just a refresher for those that don't know the little story about jalopy, can you explain that again?
Jalopy was what in later years I heard that the poet, the black poet, poetress, Gwendolyn Brooks said, has written some type of poem or something. And I never read the poem, about nothing but a plain black boy or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And this was back in the 1940s. There was a...
Okay, now I'm not hearing you there. But there you go. Maybe there's something going on here because I couldn't hear you.
Hello, okay. In the 1940s, in Muskogee, Oklahoma, which is where I was born, there was a person named Tom Carruth, but he never used that name except to sign his name, and that's the only thing he could sign, only thing he could do when it came to writing is sign his name. He didn't know how to read or write anything. And somebody had taught him somewhere, wherever that was, how to read and write his name. He can always recognize his name, and he can write his name. Somebody painstakingly, evidently, told him, well, at least you're going to know how to write your name, or you'll know your name when you see it written, but you won't know anything else. So he was a dishwasher in my father's restaurant. And he didn't know anything about his childhood except the main thing that stood out. Nothing stood out. I mean, his parents, what they looked like, or who they were, nothing like that. He just said, he lived mostly in the woods and just wandered from place to place. And back in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, that was very common.
Mm-hmm.
For black people just to wander the railroad tracks. Usually they knew the railroad tracks would be going somewhere where there was something, some people, other than where they were. So they just got in the habit of being what you call hobos or drifters,
mm-hmm.
all kind of names for them. Jalopy was apparently one of these people. And he came to Muskogee, Oklahoma, wandered there, not knowing where he was. He crossed state lines, just walking and riding rails, or catching a ride, not having, going someplace, but not knowing where they're going. Just trying to find some place where they could say, well, this is some place where I can eat and sleep.
You're breaking up again. I don't know what's going on. Go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead. Continue. I don't know what's going on. Continue, though.
Anyhow, he wound up at my father's cafe by following the railroad tracks. We were one block away from the railroad tracks in Muskogee, Oklahoma. The core of the colored section of town in Muskogee, Oklahoma, in the 1940s and 50s, probably going back to the 30s, was 2nd Street. 2nd Street was one block away from 1st Street in a small town that was, at that time, a very busy town. It was farm country, and people, farmers, that was the basis for its economy, were small farms, and people would sell their produce in the town called Muskogee. They come from all around.
Mm-hmm.
Black people had a lot of small farms, raising cabbage, putting it on a wagon, bringing it to town on weekends. And my father had a business, and the town was slowly dying because people were moving away. But what gave the town some life support was World War II, which gave a lot of towns some life support because trains came through loaded with people, and people had to get off the trains and eat and all like that at some point, whatnot. You couldn't feed everybody on the train. So that's mostly white people. So black people went mostly to the towns and cities from wherever they were.
Yeah.
Because that's where the little bit of money was. And Jalopy was one of those drifters that followed that crowd, starting in the 1940s and on into the 1950s. The last time I saw Jalopy was in the 1950s. But before then, in the 1940s, is when he really came to Muskogee, Oklahoma. And like a lot of people that drifted and whatnot, black people, they had dishwashing jobs. Because even in small towns, they had a lot of little restaurants that needed a dishwasher. The dishwasher in most towns, or in a lot of them, was a black person. That's a little job that they could get. Washing dishes by hand, scrubbing big pots and all like that. And slicing onions, peeling potatoes, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Jalopy was one of those people.
And your father trusted him, correct?
Yes, my father. I asked him, I said, why do you keep Jalopy around here? He said, two things. He's always here because he's got no other place to go. I give him a room upstairs in the hotel because my father had a hotel and a cafe. And he's always here, and he won't steal. And I said, yeah, but Jalopy, you know, he can't read or write, so he messes up some stuff and whatnot. Reading the newspaper bottom side of us, trying to learn. But the main thing was, you know, black people being weak people like we are today, pick on each other. They find somebody weaker than you are, you pick on them. So everybody picks on Jalopy. I did. Okay? And I regret that to this day. Nobody would help him. And my father said, I keep him around here because nobody will help him, Neely. Then I'm here to help people.
Okay. All right.
And they called him Jalopy because he was always trying to fix some cars. He was trying to help himself.
Yeah. Okay.
Nobody would help him.
Okay. Yeah, we're breaking up badly here. I don't know what the problem is, but anyway, we'll try to do better.
The problem might be me.
No, I don't think it's you, Mr. Fuller, because it's been going in and out. But maintenance said it's not on their end, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, the code is all about helping people.
Yes.
Helping people. Yes. Helping yourself, mostly. That's why I call it United Independent.
Okay.
You unite yourself first.
Exactly.
You can't help nobody else unless you help yourself.
Exactly.
You know that when you get on a boat or an airplane, whatnot, strap the child in. You strap the child into the seat first.
Okay.
Then you get in the driver's seat and strap yourself in.
All right. Well, we're getting ready to wrap this bad boy up, but before we do here, I had a comment. Somebody had a comment. Justice Warrior had a comment about the little take that you had on Haiti. He said, Mr. Fuller, speaking about Haiti, they were once independent, Haiti that is, but why don't you also tell the truth about how all the European powers conspired and united to take them out? So if you're going to tell the story, Mr. Fuller, tell the entire story and the history and not just part of it, in particular what we see today in Haiti. Okay, well, that's an assignment for all of us that want to know about, you know, Haiti and what happened and what the French did and how they kicked the French out in 18, whatever it was, and what happened after that and how the Western nations conspired against Haiti even until this day. Yeah, that's a history lesson that all of us can learn. So why don't we all do that? Mr. Fuller, you may have an assignment to check out that information on Haiti yourself. But anyway,
I just said it. I said a while ago, the white supremacists are winking about it. They use it as what they call black success, but they messed it all up, and they intend to keep it that way. They, in fact, I heard years ago that the white supremacists had gotten together and said, Haiti is not going to ever be anything. Why? Because we are going to see to it that they never, ever, I mean, forever and ever and ever, that the Haitians will never be nothing, because we're going to make it sure, we, with all of our power, we're going to see to it that Haiti ain't going to never be nothing.
Yeah, I did read that.
I've heard that when I was going to grade school.
Alrighty, well, guess what? We've come to the end of the program. We just have a matter of seconds. So thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, callers. Thank you, everybody, those that were on the chat and all that, engineers, Robert, Sharon, Moonpot. Thank you very much. We hope to do better next week. Forgive us for all the mistakes that we've made. ProduceJustice.com is where you can get the books. Final 10 seconds to you, Mr. Fuller.
Get the book by going to ProduceJustice.com.
All right, everybody, next week. We'll be right back.